Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Revelation chapter 17, verses 16 through 18 that we've titled, The Breakup, Beast versus Whore. We want to remind listeners that our studies are made available free of charge. We appreciate all of your kind gifts and offerings, but if you are ever asked for any sort of fee for downloads of our materials, please contact us and we will direct you to our website or instruct you on how to download our teaching audio and video materials for free. Of course, you can access those materials at bbfohio.com, but also remember that you can tune in and listen to our internet radio station at bbfohioradio.com. That's also free of charge and plays 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, bbfohioradio.com. And please be sure to share that information with your friends and loved ones. As we now join the conclusion of our study of Revelation chapter 17, verses 16 through 18 in progress.
He's a socialist. He's a communist. And the world just doesn't get it because all this is going on. And folks, you've been coming week after week. I hope you paid attention. You've seen all this stuff. And I have only scratched the surface to show you this. And yet, this is the kind of stuff you see. This is Canada Free Press. Pope Francis, now the United Nations' biggest useful idiot. That term, useful idiot, it's not even really a put-down as much as a political reality. I think it was either Stalin or Lenin. It might have been Lenin who came up with the term. And what he was saying was, here in America, liberals were useful idiots to communists because they supported the same agenda and they didn't even have to pay them. It's like free service in the United States from liberals to the Soviets and the communists and the socialists. And the only difference between a socialist and a communist is the communists will shoot you in the head. That's the difference. One of these days, folks will see who the real idiot was. It ain't the Pope. He and his Jesuit handlers know exactly what they're doing. It's kind of like the Ronald Reagan thing. You remember Ronald Reagan? Some of you weren't born then, but Ronald Reagan was painted up as being this ho-bunk kind of guy who didn't know what he's doing. Well, I have no idea. And everybody took that picture of Ronnie and he caught him off guard because he wasn't as dumb as they thought he was. And that's why the liberals couldn't believe the stuff he got done because they thought he was stupid. We're going to find out the same thing about the Pope. Just a reminder, this 20th century, the Pope Pius XI said, quote, "You know that I am the Holy Father, the representative of God on the earth, the vicar of Christ, which means I am God on the earth," end quote. That's not ancient history, folks. What a lot of people are trying to paint up is the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope used to have these crazy ideas. The popes, through the Inquisitions and the Crusades, killed millions of people like you. And the only reason they're not doing it right now is because, number one, it's not the right time. And number two, God ain't quite letting them yet. Amen. There's coming a time. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." There's where we are. Yeah. It's not complete yet, but we're seeing it right before our eyes. "And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition," Antichrist. Look what happens. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God." Whoa, what do we see here? "But this last pope, so that he, all that is called, or that is worshipped, so that he as God," the last pope will do this, "sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." There's going to be a temple on the mount, and he's going to walk in there into the Holy of Holies, stop the sacrifice, and declare himself to be God. Yeah. And he sits on a throne of lies. You seen this? Looks like something out of hell. That's the papal throne. That'd give you nightmares, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be great if I could preach in front of something like that? I don't think anything's going to make that look pretty. The world just can't say no to popery. And if you were here last time, we showed you the crowds just adoring this guy. Well, you're getting ready to see it because in September he's coming to town. He's going to be in New York, Philadelphia, and Washington. And he's going to address Congress. Well, I thought the Pope was just a religious leader. People aren't going to wake up. People are not going to wake up. Yeah, I don't think we have a congressman like Eon Paisley, but he came in to... Yeah, that was actually an EU meeting in France, and Eon Paisley stood up with a sign, said, "You're the Antichrist!" That was in Pope John 2. And they grabbed his sign, and he pulled out another one. "You're the Antichrist!" And they grabbed his sign, and he pulled out another one. I think he had something like 6 signs on him. And then one guy got so mad he punched him. One of the EU guys punched him. And then they drug him out.
Wow.
He was right, too. That great city is going to be destroyed by the beast she rides. The Pope will destroy Vatican City? Think of that? See, that's what I'm telling you. You won't get this... You would have got this a few years ago. This ain't new. But it's not being taught today because of apostasy. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. The Pope, the Antichrist, the final Pope, will head this 10-horn government and destroy Vatican City. What would make the beast turn on the whore? Well, if you don't know by now, that's what would make the beast turn on the whore that rides him. And this is the kind of confederation you got going on. And it's building the one world government. And I don't think it'll be this flag or that flag or that flag. I think that they're going to come up with their own little flag and their own everything. But this is all laying the groundwork. I just want to give you this. I'm not prophesying. We're getting ready to close up. But you may have questions now. How could this happen? This is one scenario how it could happen. First of all, the Jesuit Pope moves from Vatican City to Jerusalem. And that's already in the works. How many of you remember I showed you they got the place already and they're ready for him to move in when he's ready. The Pope can move to Jerusalem now. The Pope becomes independent of the Jesuit society that gave him his power. See? So he moves to Jerusalem, becomes independent of them. They begin to try to rein the beast in. One thing leads to another and the beast destroys Vatican City to get that woman off his back. That's how it could happen. That's just one clear scenario that explains how it can happen. And that's not a prediction, but a possible scenario. The Pope is evil.
Amen.
Yep. And I don't care whether it's Francis or who it is. I don't care. Any man who will stand in that place, sit in this holy see, as it's called, calling himself Vicar of Christ, Holy Father, which is a title reserved for God only. He's evil. But he shouldn't worry us. I'm not teaching you this tonight so you'll go home and sit and... Oh, shouldn't worry us. For starters, he's not going to be able to do anything God doesn't let him.
Amen.
Keep that in mind. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing." Now, that's not just to people who aren't living in the end times. And it's not just for it's not just for people who are living in the good times. All the time, be careful for nothing. That doesn't mean you're not careful in the sense we use that word real loosely. But it means don't be full of care. Well, look, careful. Don't be full of care, anxiety and panic and anything like that. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I mention that because people see these studies and they think that if they don't, especially if they don't see what we're teaching in Galatians and they don't see our other studies and things we do, they think that we're just occupied with every move the Pope makes and, you know, we're looking for the Antichrist. And no, that's not it at all. You should be aware. You should understand the Scripture. Know what's going on, the times you live, and rejoice.
Amen.
You should have peace because that's all in God's hands. We win. Amen?
Amen?
We win. Be aware. But I was talking to somebody today. You know, I said, you need to just walk away from this stuff every once in a while. You know, get yourself some fresh air and get into the Word. And just talk to the Lord. Your personal relationship, you have to take care of. And understand that you're in God's hands and don't let this stuff worry you. Because we win. We haven't got anything to be afraid of. And at the same time, we need to know this stuff. Because it might be that if you understand what we're studying and you discuss this with other people who at least claim to believe the Bible, that you might be used of God to wake somebody up. You might be used of God to influence some of these young men and women. And that they would dedicate their life to serving the Lord instead of serving the world or their own desires. That might happen. But you'll never know if you don't know this, understand it, and be prepared to give an answer to every man for the hope that is in you. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the information You've given us. Thank You for those who hunger to know the truth. We thank You for the security we have in Christ, understanding we are saved, we have eternal life, and no one can take that away from us. And we're going to spend eternity with You. And Lord, comfort those who are looking at the world right now, and just there's some people that I see it's an anguish to them. And of course it is disgusting, and it is hard to believe at times how depraved this world has become. At the same time, Lord, we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of Your presence and the any moment rapture to take us out of here. And Lord, we just give You all thanks, praise, and glory. And we thank You for the brothers and sisters in Christ that we can talk to about these things and be of like mind, and for the opportunity to try to reach out with the gospel and to reach those folks like the folks we were able to preach the gospel to in Worthington last night. And Lord, that even the lady that cursed us, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would convict her. She saw the message. And for all those cable guy that got the gospel tract, that he would read it. And there are people who got gospel tracts and scripture cards this last week. Lord, I just pray each one would read that gospel message. And Lord, when we get to heaven, we'll find out that there were souls saved. It'll be worth it all. And we thank You in Jesus' name.
You've got to have balance. You can only be saved because you understand you're lost. Amen?
And that is, if you turn on Oprah or Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz or whoever on TV to get your wisdom, bad move.
every one of those people reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Ask them. Write them a letter. Because people get their counsel from the ungodly, then you can say anything these days, it seems like you can say that is true, and you will be attacked for it. And I'm just talking about the Christians. The professing Christians will be the ones attacked. But if you will go to this book, you'll find it is life-changing. Holding a book, owning a Bible. I mean, I know people who've collected the things, but they don't read them. And I see professing Christians posting their astrological signs and their horoscopes on Facebook. I see them talking about, watching this stuff. They are getting their counsel from the ungodly. I picture it this way. There are a lot of cocky, arrogant scorners who think that when they stand before God on Judgment Day, they're going to put forth a defense. They are not going to stand in the judgment. They will be face down, begging, knowing that they have chosen what's about to happen to them. Amen. And it's too late. They will not stand in the judgment. They will not pump a fist at God. They will not give a defense. They will stand for about a millisecond and then be down, face first, not even able to look at His glory, knowing, what a fool was I. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They will not stand. We are righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid for our sins. We are righteous in spite of ourselves, not because of ourselves. We are righteous because of what Jesus has done for us. And when the Father looks at you, He doesn't look and say, whoa, now that's a specimen there. I should not have broken the mold when I made her. That's not what God says. He looks at you, and if you're in the righteous, the congregation of the righteous, He says, the blood of my Son, the blood of my Son, the blood of my Son. You have nothing to do with it. It's in spite of you. It's in spite of me. And what's it say in verse 6? Read that with me. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The end. The end. If you're saved, I know it can look rough and you think, where are you, Lord? Trust the book. He says that if you're saved, He's there with you. And He will not leave you nor forsake you. And I hate to use the cliches, but you all know the footprints in the sand. There was that time where there was only one set of footprints. I think if I look back at my life, most of the time there's one set. So much of my life, God is the one carrying me. And as far as salvation, there's never anything but one set of footprints. As far as my soul being saved, nothing but one set of footprints. Done. All these trials you're going through, all the troubles you have to suffer, the pains physically, emotionally, whatever it is, you're going to not even look back. It'll be such a distant memory. You're going to look at what you have in Christ. And you're going to just bask in His glory. And you're not going to have time or a desire to look back. But the way of the ungodly shall perish, and the ungodly will never forget. The ungodly who reject the blood atonement of Jesus Christ will burn in an everlasting lake of fire. Their torment will rise. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. And it says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Those people who have been overcome by their lust, their greed, their self-centeredness, all that, they will continue to be overcome by it through eternity. And their way here on earth that they're walking, that they think is so smart, it will perish. We can look to the cross of Jesus Christ and the empty tomb and know that we have been saved.
Yeah.